When incumbent services contractors see a recompetition coming, it often sets off their spidey sense. But there are limits to how much a contractor can control the solicitation put out by the agency it's working for. Joining me with a recent case in point, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. And Joe, this case involves Fluor, which had a maintenance contract, and they tried to kind of push things a little too far, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a case involving a contract that where Fluor was the incumbent contractor. This is the recompetition of the contract. It's going to be a contract on a fixed price basis, firm fixed price basis for specific types of work. And it involves a large number or category of maintenance and other operations work for the naval base in Pensacola. They would do port operations, facilities management. They would keep the equipment and utilities and all operation, work on the vehicles, make sure the vehicles and equipment worked. So, you know, it was a very large amount of work, and the Navy provided a couple of things to bound what the contractor had to do. First, it provided lots of information about the equipment it had, the model numbers, etc., extensive lists of that. And second, it put a sort of stop-loss provision in. If the contractor, in performing a service order, exceeded a certain number of hours or dollars for material cost, the Navy would pick up the excess. So it did put some boundaries on it, and it gave the contractor some idea about what needed to be done, what was the equipment to be maintained. But Fluor protested that. Fluor said that, you know, you need more information. First of all, you need the detailed component-level information and all the OEM specifications. And GAO looked at that and allegation, and they said, well, you know, there's a lot of information here, but we think the agency has said that there's enough here that an offeror could use a commercial cost estimation system that folks in this industry use, and there's enough information for them to use that system. So in that sense, it seemed adequate. But then GAO said something that's very interesting and has application outside this, which is that the agency has discretion to offer for competition a contract that imposes maximum risks on the contractor and minimum burdens on the agency. So, you know, agencies do like sometimes to put a lot of risk on the contractor, and GAO is not going to be the party to stop them in most cases.
So Fluor was trying to load up the solicitation, I guess, in a way that favored itself by shifting risk back to the agency?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's a couple of things that may be going on here. One is that they might have wanted to have less risk themselves, and therefore they wanted some of the terms changed. But in terms of the informational stuff that they were seeking to move, that's a little bit of a head-scratcher because they already had that information. And one possibility is that they were concerned that an offeror that didn't have this information would underbid them out of ignorance, and therefore they wanted to put all that information out there so that their competition would know exactly how hard a job this was and perhaps not bid quite as low. But that's speculation on my part.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo. He's a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell in Washington. So GAO said you can't put that in there, or they said the agency was okay in not putting it in there.
Right. Fluor also made another allegation or had another charge, which was even stranger, and that is that it provided during contract performance these enhanced reports with lots of information in them. And I suppose the additional information wasn't required under the contract because Fluor marked those as proprietary, and the Navy honored that designation. But then they said that the Navy should have come to them and asked for permission to release that information to offerors as part of the solicitation. So Fluor is saying, you should have come and asked for our proprietary information to release in the solicitation. It had a bunch of information like their subcontractors or service call logs, detailed repair history, etc. Well, they lost that issue as well. GAO held that the proprietary nature was probably enough to justify not releasing it. Then, of course, they went on and made the point that Fluor wasn't disadvantaged by the failure to release this information because it already had it. And so since it wasn't disadvantaged, it wasn't the party to bring this protest. It couldn't complain about the failure to release the information.
It sounded like they hoped that the other would-be bidders would say, well, they were saying to them, if you knew what we knew about all of this, you wouldn't dare bid anything too low.
Yeah, I that's probably what's going on here. I think it would explain some of why Fluor is coming in, trying to provide more information to their competition, even to the point of possibly releasing their proprietary information to the competitors.
But you can't say, here's confidential information, and then go a couple weeks later and say, well, why didn't you tell our would-be competitors this confidential information?
It did seem inconsistent. There's no indication in the decision that they actually did waive the proprietary designation. So that leaves you scratching your head as well.
So do we know the final disposition of the solicitation? Did Fluor get the recompete?
We don't know what happened there. The decision came out at the end of last month, so it's probably still in process. But there was no reason to change the solicitation, and the procurement will go forward, presumably.
Now I wonder if people that read these things carefully, contractors that is, could, in the next time they are facing a recompete situation, that is where they're trying to knock out a incumbent, they could say, well, what kind of proprietary information from them, the incumbent, do you think we need to make a fair bid?
Well, that's right. And it's not well established that the agency is under any obligation to release proprietary information. And if you think about it, if it truly is proprietary, the agency would not have that ability. So I'm not so sure that's a good path to run down. But it's certainly if the owner of the proprietary information wants their competitors to see it, they're able to waive that limitation and permit the agency to disseminate it.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Thanks for that strange case.
Very welcome, Tom.
And you can find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.